Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 2nd of November, number 2 day of November 2021. I am Derek Hunter, I am your host, welcome to it, I appreciate you. Download and share and telling a friend, please keep doing that. Yeah, don't forget about the Curse Program at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. It's a way people converse in there, they meet. Maybe we'll someday have a marriage or a baby out of it. But you also win signed books, autographed books by all sorts of conservatives and sometimes not conservatives. I've got a ton of signed books. And so we'll see. This week's entry, you get to choose between a Sebastian Gorka autographed book or a Ben Carson autographed book. And quite frankly, the Ben Carson book, if just from a purely resale perspective, Ben Carson's always going to get you more money than Seb Gorka. The more people know who the hell Ben Carson is. But also, the book that I'm giving away is an older Ben Carson book, which makes it even rarer. So there you go. I'm not trying to tell you which one you want to win. If your name is pulled, you get the pick. But I'm just saying, I'd take the Carson book in a heartbeat. Anyway, I appreciate you can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. Compliments, complaints, bitching, moaning, whining, whatever you want. I'll probably complain about it. And certainly if you come up with some new innovative swear words that might want to integrate into the Week in Effin' Review on Saturdays at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast, let me know. Also, if you're full of it, when some people say, I feel like I am sometimes, you want to go to getthetea.com, our fine, fine sponsor at Life Change Tea. It's a tea that will change your life. It's the tea that will make you go, clean you out. As I describe it as a squeegee for your innards. Use only as directed. But if you feel like you're dragging around, you're going, I don't get it. I eat right. I stay in good shape. I'm eating the best foods. Why am I so tired all the time? Well, it might be because your innards are clogged up and your body cannot absorb the nutrition from a food that you eat. Not enough of it anyway. That's where Life Change Tea comes in. It squeegees your digestive tract and allows more square footage, frankly, for your body to absorb the nutrition from the food that you consume. Use as directed, just a little cup a day. It's not much. And you will notice that you are regular. And then you'll notice that you have more energy. And at checkout, enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, for free fast shipping on top of everything else. Getthetea.com. Get some Life Change Tea. Change your life. Promo code Derek. All right. Let's do this program, shall we, so we can get to the Friday show. Let's start off talking about little Chris Cuomo, little Fredo Cuomo, the lesser Cuomo. Tucker last night mocked him, saying that the only thing that he ever did that was good was defending his brother. And you should defend your brother to the ends of earth. If your brother calls you and says he's in trouble, you drop everything. I get that. That actually, that's who Tucker is. That's how Tucker is. Tucker and his brother Buckley, and yes, his brother's name is Buckley. Very cool guy. I know Buckley well. Buckley are incredibly close. If Buckley showed up at Tucker's house, or if Tucker showed up at Buckley's house, covered in blood, and said, dude, you got to help me get rid of a body, the other one would do it. They're that close. I love my brother, if you're listening, Kirk. But if you show up and you want me to dispose of a body with you, no, I couldn't do it. You know, I'll do almost anything. I have to throw the caveat almost. I do almost anything in there, short of the rest of your life in prison felony. I'm old-fashioned that way. Also, you know, wildly immoral. Luckily, my brother isn't going to be murdering anybody anytime soon. Or he's murdering people all the time, and he's just got people he's closer to. Because, you know, we're like a decade apart. What are you going to do? I assume he's got people closer in his friendship circle to me that help him get rid of a body. But that's what I would say on that one. I understand why Chris Cuomo did what he did. But Chris Cuomo's job does not allow for Chris Cuomo to do what Chris Cuomo did. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. You're not supposed to take a side and involve yourself in the news. Period. End of story. Doesn't matter. You shouldn't be in a situation. They should have probably worked out something ahead of time. The problem with bad management, which CNN seems to have in spades, is that you don't anticipate situations. Lax, hands-off, dumb managers could look at the situation. A good manager would look at the situation and say, look, your brother's governor of the state of New York. You're in New York, all right? He's going to be in the news a lot. You can't comment on it. You can't report it. You can't interview him. And more importantly, even behind the scenes, he's your brother. You can hang out with him. But I don't care what's going on. You can't advise him on anything. Policy, I mean, you probably wouldn't anticipate 11 allegations of sexual assault, but you could anticipate scandal, just generic scandal. No scandal, no policy discussions, nothing. Just ignore him. Pretend he doesn't exist professionally, and in your private life, you cannot get involved, no matter how unjust you think it is. And then everybody agree, and you go, all right, well, problem solved. Now we can go about our business. They didn't do that. And in fact, they did much worse than that. They allowed him to blur the lines. They allowed them to dance all over the line, to interview him multiple times, to pretend that he was doing journalism or to pretend that he wasn't helping his brother at all. It's horrible and wildly stupid. Once they found out that he was once they found out that he was on calls with his brother's staff, they said, well, give us everything. Tell us everything that you said, because this is problematic. And if he lied, then he's got to go. But they didn't fire him. They suspended him indefinitely. How long is indefinitely? Indefinitely is as long as they need it to be. I think Jeffrey Toobin was suspended indefinitely because he was, dropping trow in meetings and things like that. All the Toobin things that Toobin did. They brought him back. The official CNN statement reads as follows. The New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. The documents, which we were not privy to before the public release, raise serious questions. When Chris admitted to us that he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules, and we acknowledged that publicly. And you made sure that there were absolutely no consequences for breaking those rules. I'd like to point that out. Yes, you broke our rules. Well, what are you going to do to him? Nothing. Well, then you don't really have rules, okay? If you're just going to tisk somebody, you don't have real strict rules. But we also appreciated the unique position he was in and understood his need to put family first and job second. Well, then he can't do his job, right? He can't do his job. By the way, whatever advice Chris Cuomo felt compelled to give to his brother didn't work. Andrew Cuomo's not governor of New York anymore. Andrew Cuomo's facing criminal charges. Andrew Cuomo, it all went sideways. I don't know what advice he's giving that was worth risking. His advice seemed to consist of, dude, I'll find this chick, and dude, I'll tell her. But, all right, okay, fair enough. However, they continue, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. Huh? So what CNN is saying here, without saying it, because they don't want to damage their most valuable property, frankly, weird as it is to say, Chris Cuomo is the most valuable property over at CNN. He is their top-rated personality. Doesn't quite get a million viewers every day, but he's number one, king of the hill. It doesn't matter if it's a, you know, just a little mound. So they can't come out and say what that sentence, skillfully crafted by public relations professionals, is actually saying. That sentence is actually saying, he lied to us. Chris Cuomo lied to us, whether it was by omission or commission, doesn't really matter. He lied to them. I'll read that sentence again and keep in mind that this is them saying that their face of their network, the guy that they desperately would like for this to blow over from and get back on there because he's the only one anybody watches, he lied to them and therefore lied to the audience. Said, however, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. The only way they knew anything previously was from Chris Cuomo. So he probably said, oh, yeah, no. I just listened in on the phone calls. I mostly fell asleep during them. No big shake. No big deal. Don't worry about it. And never really said it. I don't even think I unmuted my microphone. So it's all good. And now you find out he's using his sources and connections to dig up information on some of the accusers, things of that nature. Now, I don't like seeing anybody fired, to be honest with you, even if it's a jerk, even if it's just an insufferable jackass. If Joy Reid were fired, and I believe Joy Reid deserves to be fired. It's sad to say, MSNBC has lower standards than CNN. On CNN, they eventually had to do something. They were forced to do something about Chris Cuomo. MSNBC is embracing Joy Reid's constant stream of racism. They're embracing it. They're encouraging it. They're endorsing it. It's part of their network brand, their identity. But even if Joy Reid got fired, I'd feel good. I'd be like, okay, good. Get that vile creature off the air. Deserves it. But then, you know, part of me, it's all not all hard exterior. There's a gooey center. It's deep down there and it's very small. But it get to it and it goes, oh, you know, she's out of work. It'll be tempered by the fact that she's made millions of dollars. And unless she has been on a 5-year coke bender, theoretically has some money saved. And it's her responsibility to save that money either way. So in that sense, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But in general, I would like to go, I'd just rather people be better people. It's just that so many people in media can't be better people. They have to be who they are. They have to be what they are. And quite frankly, they're not good people. They're not paid to be good people. But they're really not good people. I'm not paid to be a good person. Doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. Doesn't mean you have to be a bad person. So many people take it to that extreme, take it the other way, but just worth noting and worth paying attention to. So I feel, part of me feels a little bit bad about Chris Cuomo. Now, Chris Cuomo is a very wealthy man. He's done a job that is not breaking rocks. He's done a job that where he sits on his butt and works for, granted, anybody deserves a lot of money if they have to interact with Don Lemon the way that Chris Cuomo had to interact with Don Lemon on a daily basis. But other than that, these cable hosts have guests on that do the lion's share of the work, who do the lion's share of filling time. Take a look at a transcript of some CNN. I used to, anyway. I don't know if they still do. But CNN at least used to post transcripts of all their shows. Take a look at a transcript and see who has more words, who says more. You can copy and paste it into a Word document and cut and put it into two separate Word documents and see whether or not the host or all the guests combined say more words. Because as a host, it's pretty easy. You ask a question. Oftentimes they're written for you. And you sit back and you let the person talk. The problem is that you have to listen to what they're saying and then respond to it. And so many people in cable news are incapable of that. either because they're narcissistic and only care what they have to say, or they're not bright enough to understand what somebody else is saying. That's a whole nother story. But in general, the job of being a cable news personality is the has probably the highest pay ratio to calories burnt doing the job. I mean, most of their job is really to not get fat. Let's be honest about it. They all, I have to work out every day. You make millions of dollars. You really do work for about 2 hours a day. 1 hour of prep, 1 hour of on the air with commercial breaks. And you have to stay in shape. Now, granted, you want to eat that tomahawk ribeye every day because you got the money. You can. You just got to spend an extra hour on the treadmill. It's all up to you. So I'm torn on this Chris Cuomo thing because it's nice that CNN has introduced the concept of standards, of a line, dotted as it may be, faded as it may be, but a line nonetheless. It's honestly a shock to me that they did this because up until now, I wasn't aware of the fact that they had any standards. These standards are low. You have to have, you know, you can violate all the journalistic ethics standards you possibly want. And Chris Cuomo being involved in his brother's strategy is a violation of every journalistic standard you can possibly imagine. But even that wasn't enough. You had to get caught lying. You had to get caught publicly lying. I bet you the sources, I get you people at CNN have sources in the Attorney General's office in New York. They knew the extent to what was going on. They had people on this beat. If only for damage control purposes, they knew that Chris was much more involved than a passive listener on conference calls. They knew it. You don't even have to know Chris Cuomo to look at the guy, to listen to the guy and go, that dude isn't going to sit by and listen to somebody else talk about what's going on. He's too dumb. Dumb people tend to believe that their every thought has to be exposed to the world. The world needs to know is their inner monologue. They have a dumb thought and they go, oh, the world needs to know this. That's Chris Cuomo. You add to that the quick to rage thing. People are circulating the video from 3 years ago where he threatened to throw a guy down a flight of stairs for calling him Fredo. And I understand why they're doing it. They just want to pile on. I'm not going to pile on. And actually, I don't remember what I said at the time, but now that I think about that thing, he's at a public event. He's just trying to enjoy himself. And this guy's like, hey, Fredo. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought your name was really Fredo. Nobody really thought this guy's name was Fredo. If you're going to be a jackass to somebody, be a jackass to somebody. It's your choice to be a jackass, but you don't get to play the victim and nail yourself to the cross when they're a jackass back to you. You know, you're insulting this guy. Is he under some sort of moral or legal obligation to sit there and say, thank you, sir, may I have another? No, he's not. So I'm not really sure that video does anything. It actually makes me feel bad for him. Yeah, I think he's dumb. And yes, the nickname Fredo is appropriate. But in front of his wife and kids at an outdoor restaurant, I'm not going to start screaming at him. That, hey, you're dumb. If I'm going to scream it, I'm going to take issue with specifics, not just go, you're dumb. Hey, Fredo. Oh, no. And own it, by the way. You know his name isn't Fredo Cuomo, for God's sakes. You know it's not. Just own it. And say, all right, yeah, I was being a jerk. What are you going to do? So he'll be suspended indefinitely. The last line in the CNN release, as a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely, pending further evaluation. That further evaluation is likely going to be public opinion polling or focus grouping of CNN viewers to find out how long they think he'd have to be away, whether or not they want him back, whether or not they'd accept him back, blah, 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 because the news business is a business first and foremost. So there you go. There's your updated on Chris Cuomo. Okay. There's other news going on in the world that doesn't, and I will say this last thing about Chris Cuomo. And I realize I spent the first part of the show talking about it, but it shouldn't be news. It's a guy who's supposed to be a news person. He's suspended. That shouldn't be news. We shouldn't care. The so much of what goes on cable, and I know Fox is having fun with this, and I can't blame Fox for having fun with this, because 60% of CNN's content is complaining about Fox. So when they get busted for what they're always trying to accuse Fox of doing, it's got to have a certain perverse sense of satisfaction to it. But it doesn't make it news. It's just enough already. And get on back with the news. Still, you have this situation where these people are running around gleefully reporting on things that aren't news, not newsworthy. So I just, you look at it and you go, okay, let's talk about some actual news. And here is some actual news. Politico reporting. President Joe Biden will soon announce tighter COVID restrictions for people who fly into the United States, including requiring a negative COVID test just one day prior to travel as the world races to confront the new Omicron variant. Do we know anything about the Omicron? No, we don't, but we must confront it. Now, I can sort of understand both sides of it, where you go, well, we don't know, but we've got to be prepared. Great. The Boy Scout motto is true. But that doesn't give you the right to just simply start trampling over people's constitutional rights. Of course, Democrats don't need an excuse for that. They just love trampling over people's constitutional rights. Politico continues, three White House officials confirmed that a tightened testing window, first reported by the Washington Post, is coming. One official said Biden himself will soon announce the new requirements ahead of another busy holiday travel period looming in mere weeks. You want to, and they're getting ready to impose this before Christmas. And you can say, well, they're doing this before Christmas because that's when a lot of people are traveling. Think about what they're going to do to the travel industry that's already damaged. It's already decimated, quite frankly. It's in trouble. Big trouble. No, they're going to kill it. They are literally going to kill off what's left of it. But one official said Biden himself will soon announce blah, blah, blah. In addition, the officials acknowledged that additional quarantine measures are under consideration, but said there are no current plans to implement any. Fox is reporting that they are planning on implementing them. 7 days is the Fox report. CDC says it's working to modify its current global testing order for travel as more data comes in on the Omicron variant and recommends all passengers should still get a viral test 3 to 5 days following travel. Unvaccinated travelers should quarantine upon arrival, said the CDC. What's new, what Fox is reporting, is that everybody, if you come here on a plane, theoretically a boat too, if you come here legally through a point of entry, an official point of entry, you're going to have to quarantine for 7 days. 7 days. So imagine if you're, I don't know, what do they care about? They care about Vegas. Vegas is an international tourist destination, or Florida, the beaches of Florida. Right now it's winter up north here, or going to be winter soon. And in Europe, it is winter as well, or winter is coming. Winter technically starts, I think, the 21st of December. So there are a lot of people who go, I really want to spend time on warm, sandy beaches. Florida has a lot of warm, sandy beaches. So a lot of people have booked travel. A lot of people go, all right, I get a holiday. They call it a holiday. I get a holiday. I get a 10-day holiday or a one-week holiday or whatever in the winter. Let's go to Florida and enjoy some great weather. It's actually the lowest COVID transmission rate state in the country. You notice when Florida's out of the news, you can just assume, no, that the news is good for Florida. When the media is talking about Florida constantly, it's bad because they want to try and tar and feather Ron DeSantis down there. But when things are going well in Florida, yeah, we don't even have that. The country ends. We have no peninsula jetting out into the Caribbean. It doesn't exist. And they're not talking about Florida right now because Florida is the lowest in the country is COVID transmission. Just about a month ago, they were up close, higher. And it was all the media could talk about. Ron DeSantis is trying to kill people. Why is he trying to kill people? Well, now people are doing just fine, thank you very much, and it doesn't exist. And a lot of people around the world see that, and they go, all right, well, good. They've drawn the connection between the dots that our government won't do, at least won't do publicly. There's no way they don't know. That whatever COVID transmission is, it is weather dependent. It is people being stuck inside dependent, which is weather dependent. In the summer up here in the north, when it's warm and people are outside and people are going in and out and the windows are open and the doors are open and the air is flowing around, the COVID rate collapses. Florida, it goes up. Because Florida's hot as hell. I don't know if you've ever been to Florida in the summer. I don't recommend going to Florida in the summer. It's horrible. It's like sitting in a sauna with a whole bunch of half-dressed, unattractive people. Sitting in a giant sauna. And it's unpleasant. So people go inside because there's air conditioning. And when they're inside, it's just like the winter inside up here. People are breathing on each other. People are breathing each other's air, blah, blah, blah. Respiratory diseases are transmissible and transmitted. It's really just that simple. People have figured that out. So now comes the time on Sprockets when we dance. Now comes the time in Florida when it's like our summer here, except for August, which is horrible here, where, you know, it's in the 70s. It's not oppressively humid. You can go outside and do things. Being in those theme parks and everything. Good time now because the weather is wonderful. So the COVID rates naturally plummet. People are planning their vacations. Now imagine if you had a week vacation. You're either internal travel in the U.S. So far, doesn't seem to be impacted by this attempted order by Joe Biden. But if you're from England, if you're from France, if you're from Spain, and you're going, you know what, I'm going to go spend a week in Florida. No, you're not. Well, you could. You fly to Florida, and then you get to spend 7 days in your hotel. Just in time, you are released from quarantine that, depending on what time your flight is, you might be able to run to the beach for a minute and get just enough sand on you that you'll be flicking it off of you for your entire flight home. That's it. So anybody and everybody who's thinking about going to Florida would not go to Florida. Anybody's thinking about coming to the United States, unless they're going to move here, wouldn't do that. If you're trying to damage the economy of the United States as it's getting back, that's the thing about Joe Biden, is I don't know if enough people will get this reference. It's like Reginald Denny. The economy is like Reginald Denny, the guy, the truck driver who was beaten nearly to death in the Rodney King riots by a whole bunch of monsters. He kept trying to get back up. He should have never got out of the truck in the first place. He should have just kept driving. But he kept trying to get back up. And every time he tried to get back up, they'd throw a brick against his head or kick him in the face or whatever it is. The economy is trying to get back up. It's its natural state. It's its natural order. And Joe Biden comes along and throws a brick against its head. Kicks it. Dances around like an idiot. We did it. We got to spend more money, another $1 trillion. All right, here comes another $1 trillion. All right, here comes a new set of regulations. Here comes a new set of lockdowns and travel restrictions. Here comes another thing of this and another thing of that. And you just see he's pummeling it. Meanwhile, Omicron, they literally know nothing about. They apparently, allegedly, have a test, a DNA test, to find out if it is the Omicron variant. I'm not sure how reliable that is. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not going to question that. But I want to play for you an audio. I played you the other day the director of the South African Medical Association, Angelique Coetzee. I have an op-ed that she wrote. I'll read you in a second. But this is Alex Sigal. S-I-G-A-L. He appeared on CNN yesterday. He was one of the doctors who helped discover the Omicron. Dr. Coetzee told the world about it. Alex Sigal helped discover it. He was the clinical physician, the other one mostly a bureaucrat, I'd imagine. But listen to what he said on CNN. And it's ironic that he's saying this on CNN because CNN is guilty of what he's talking about. The hyping of it, the hysteria, the attempt to scare the hell out of everybody, the overreaction to the discovery of this new variant, to the point that CNN might never have this guy on again. Theoretically, networks should be having Angelique Coetzee and Alex Sigal on nonstop. They are the two people, one told the world, one who discovered this, who know more than anybody else about Omicron. And they're saying the wrong things. And that's the problem. So they will probably be memory-holed. But listen to him talk about the media hyping this thing, trying to scare the hell out of people, and it being actually counterproductive, and him being very disappointed. And at the end, what he says is wildly important.
I'm a little bit saddened by it because it kind of shows a lack of perspective. So South African scientists were very open and transparent, and so with the South African government, and it seemed like, you know, what we're getting is a bit of punishment for that. Now, luckily, this place allows us to report things as we see them. We just hope scientists in other places can also report, similar findings, without their governments perhaps suppressing it because of what happened here. So I think, you know, one has to be very careful about, discouraging this kind of open communication.
They're terrified. He says, "Oh no, if we can report here in South Africa what we want." The reaction from the world, from the media hyping it as the end of civilization as we know it, to governments saying, lockdowns, no, you can't come in, travel restrictions, economic devastation that accompanies that. There are now a lot, he's worried that if another variant comes along, one that's deadlier, that like China at the very beginning of this thing kept it secret, that those states, those governments might keep it secret. Why? Because the world overreacts. The world, no, complete lockdown. Destroy the commerce in that country. Go for it. Do it. It's problematic. And fueling that is the media. Fueling all of that is the media. They are the hype machine. They need the terror. They want the terror. They profit off the terror. People watch much longer and more news because they're scared to death. And if they think there's some invisible killer out there coming to get them, they're going to watch more and they're going to watch harder and they're going to run for the hills and they're going to try and hype it. And the one who screams the loudest is the one who gets the most attention. And it's problematic because now other states, other countries might go, well, all right, this looks like a new variant, but we don't say anything yet, all right? We don't know that it's spreading. We've got one case. Yeah, it's very deadly, but we don't know. Let's just keep quiet about this. It's China all over again at the start of this thing. Facts don't matter to the left. It's agenda uber alles, and fear helps them push their agenda. So Dr. Angelique Coetzee, chair of the South African Medical Association, the UK Daily Mail, right, she's really going at the UK, writes an op-ed today. And I'll just read you a little bit of it. A lot of it is fluff and filler. But she talks about how she discovered and helped to discover and publicize the Omicron variant. But given my public facing, let's see, quite simply, I have been stunned at the response. And especially from Britain. Let me be clear. Nothing I have seen about this new variant warrants the extreme action the UK government has taken in response to it. No one here in South Africa is known to have been hospitalized with the Omicron variant, nor is anyone here believed to have fallen seriously ill with it. Yet Britain and other European nations, she could add the United States to it as well, but this was written before Biden's story came out about him locking down everything. Yet Britain and other European nations have reacted with heavy travel restrictions on flights from across southern Africa, as well as imposing tighter rules at home on mask wearing, fines, and extended quarantine. The simple truth is we don't know yet anywhere near enough about Omicron to make such judgments or impose such policies. It doesn't matter. They've wanted these policies. They needed an opportunity. They have an opportunity. I talked about yesterday, again, I'm not an infectious disease specialist, but logic would dictate that a virus over time, no matter how deadly it starts off as it mutates, especially one that just made the jump or was shoved into human beings through experimentation and gain of function, it makes sense that it would naturally become less deadly. The less deadlier versions would be the ones that would reproduce the most, the ones that give people asymptomatic cases or very mild cases, because those people will live, they'll power through, they're likely to not notice that they're sick, whereas if you die, you pretty much know you're sick. If you are sick in the hospital and on a ventilator or in need of medical care, you recognize that. And I think even the dumbest among us now would go, I'm not feeling well, I'm going to stay home from work today. At least I'd hope that. And I guess there are probably some people who wouldn't. So the people who die from it or people with the more severe cases are the ones who are isolated, who die from it, who get the more deadly version of the virus. That would mean that the weaker versions, it's a copy of a copy of a copy. As you go down the chain, the copy becomes worse, especially a virus that is not naturally occurring in human beings. Thanks to China and President Fauci, it's in human beings. But it's not naturally there. Nature has a way of correcting itself. That would be my speculation. Don't live your life based on my speculation, but think about it. Maybe you want to come to a different conclusion, or maybe you'll come to the same conclusion. Maybe you'll come to a hopeful conclusion. It's a hell of a lot better than going, you know what, we need to get a Ziploc bag big enough to encompass the entire house. We need to be like that season 4 or 5 of Breaking Bad where they just cocoon the whole house like we're getting bombed for rodents or whatever. No, that's not how you do this. So Dr. Angelique Goetze is writing in the UK Daily Mail. She says that the simple truth is we don't know about what Omicron is. And the world is overreacting. It says in South Africa, we've retained a sense of perspective. We had no new regulations or talk of lockdowns because we're waiting to see what the variant actually means. We've also become accustomed here to new COVID variants emerging. So when our scientists confirmed the discovery of yet another, nobody made a huge thing of it. Many people didn't even notice. But after Britain heard about it, the global picture started to change. Even as our scientists tried to point out huge gaps in the world's knowledge about this variant, European nations immediately and unilaterally banned travel from this part of the world. And she's right. Joe Biden is going right along with it. The United States of America, look, I want to be cautious. There is a possibility that Omicron is super deadly, but I would think that it would have presented itself in that way from the start. But we shall see. As it becomes winter here, it becomes summer there. So who knows how long this thing has been around? Who knows how it will react? But honestly, I think that Omicron is, if the reports continue this way, and don't ever spike the football on the 5-yard line, but if Omicron is what they say it is, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Could mean that this thing is moving towards petering out. You're not going to get, I don't, herd immunity is a great idea if you can get there quickly. I don't think we got there fast enough. And I'm not sure, you know, with the body and this virus not being made for human beings, I'm not sure you could ever get there quickly enough. And now people like LeBron James tested positive for it, and he's out sick in the NBA. Of course, he's always just a bit of a whiner, but he's out. He's fully vaccinated. That's not supposed to happen, right? And yet it's happening all the time. Thankfully, most people are safe, but whatever. That this thing should peter out. I'm not sure we've reached, like if you go back to the Spanish flu, 1918. I don't think we reached herd immunity or killed off everybody. It was a new illness come out of nowhere, come out of the trenches in Europe. It doesn't seem to me to, you know, have been meant for human beings. That, you know, human beings are not meant to live and root in mud for months and months on end in trench warfare with no food and no showers or anything like that, and trench foot and infections. And so from there, something jumped in and it spread around the world. I get it. But it wasn't really, I don't think, made for human beings because it didn't come from human beings. And so it petered out rather quickly. In the grand scheme, it's rather quickly in a time when, you know, travel was very slow and arduous. Maybe we're seeing the same thing. I don't know, but it would be nice. But I know we're not, we don't know what we're seeing. And I would prefer to have a government that looks at what's going on and says, we're going to take a wait and see attitude. We're going to be cautious. We're going to be smart, but not freeze everything. Do I personally care that we've eliminated travel from South Africa and 8 African countries? No, I don't. I don't want to go to Africa. I have no desire to go to Africa. The commerce we do with Africa is so limited that you're not really going to do a whole hell of a lot to damage the economy. The damage that it does do still isn't good, but still, it's not a major trade hub with the United States, et cetera, et cetera. And you want to err on the side of caution, fine. But they're not erring on the side of caution. They're erring on the side of panic. You can do the same things in a different way. And they're doing them in a way, in the way, to instill the most panic. That's where my problem comes in. That's where I have the difficulty. Is just say, hey, as a precaution, as an abundance of caution, we don't know, but we're going to make sure, and so we're going to impose this, that, and the other thing. But we're going to be ready to take this off at a moment's notice, and we're sending people down there to make sure and to study with it and so on and so on. They could have handled it a lot better. They don't want to handle it a lot better because they want the fear that accompanies the unknown. They don't want the level-headed, rational response that should accompany the unknown. They want the fear that accompanies it because fear is useful to these people. Fear is incredibly useful to the left. It overrides logic. It overrides logic. It's like anger. You've never done anything smart out of fear. You've never done anything smart out of anger. You probably never will. The government knows that, and they've got an agenda, the Build Back Better agenda, they want to cram through. So they aren't about to let a good crisis go to waste, so to speak. Now let's talk about Jim Cramer. I don't know, I don't know how long he's been on the air, but it seems like 20 years ago when he was relevant. And I actually liked him back then. He's like, bang, pow, bip. I don't know what he does now. And maybe he still does the same shtick, and it just wore thin, and that's why nobody's watching him anymore. But he had some thoughts on the vaccine and those damned people who are choosing not to get vaccinated. Those monsters. Now, it's the vaccinated who are getting sick as well as the unvaccinated. You can find, I'll tell you the most annoying thing about all of this. And this may annoy some of you, and my saying it may annoy some of you. I don't know, but it's got to be said. But the worst part about all of this is that the way the media has handled it. You can turn on MSNBC and you can turn on Fox, and you would think that the people there are talking about two entirely different planets. Two entirely different planets with two entirely different species of creatures, of animals inhabiting those planets. One is COVID is ravaging, it's worst thing ever, get the shot or you're going to die. The other is COVID's no big deal. Nobody really dies of it. Just forget the whole thing. The truth is, of course, not either one of those things. It's somewhere in between. But nuance doesn't get you on TV. Nuance doesn't do any. You've got to speak in absolutist terms. And the louder, the bolder the absolutist terms in which you speak are, the more likely you are to be invited back. Well, that has, you know, good effects on ratings, but it has bad effects on everything else, because half the country is scared to death, and the other half of the country is la-di-da. And there's somewhere in between is where reality lies. So you've got these people telling you, get the shot, get the double shot, get the triple shot, get it vaccinated as many times as President Fauci tells you to do. In fact, walk around with a Pfizer drip constantly. Forget we'll hook an IV onto your shoulder and we'll constantly be dripping the Pfizer vaccine into you. And you got the other people who say, I will not allow anything experimental into my body. And if I get sick, I'll just take monoclonal antibodies. Not realizing that monoclonal antibodies are just as experimental as the vaccines are. Or the people who insist, and the media loves this, the people who insist that some evangelical guy just died of COVID. I don't know how old he was. He's youngish, but not super young, maybe in his 60s. But he had the second largest evangelical television network or something like that. He founded it, and he died of COVID the other day, and the media is very happy about it because he had proselytized on his television show against the vaccine. And they love it when somebody who is against the vaccine dies of COVID. It's sick. It's morbid. It should be shunned, and the people who do it should be embarrassed to be doing it, but they aren't. They're given primetime slots, and now in cable news, there's a primetime slot potentially opening up. My God, watch the crazies come out of the woods. Think about it. Everybody scrambling to try and get their hands on Chris Cuomo's time slot should Chris Cuomo end up being fired. The clown show that is about to happen on CNN and MSNBC, because the MSNBC hosts aren't going to care, but the substitute hosts on and the weekend hosts on MSNBC, they're basically now on audition time. Everybody with a contract, every leftist out there is now on audition time to try and get their own CNN show. But it is a mess. The world is not black and white. The world is shades of gray. So you get Jim Cramer out there, and you can tell which side he's on. He's on the side of we are all going to die if we don't listen to President Fauci. And so on his show yesterday, he goes off on a rant. Now, if you do listen, listen closely to him here, it's about 50 seconds long, if memory serves. He sounds drunk. He sounds slurry in the middle of it. But since then, he has taken to his social media account to back it up. To reiterate it, to repeat it. So he clearly, unless he's constantly drunk, he clearly wasn't drunk, and he believes this garbage.
Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The Commonweal was a Commonweal. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' right issue, the right to get sick, get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing.
You stay home. Your conscientious objector status. You see what I'm saying about he sounds drunk? And like in the middle there, there was a sort of a hiccup slash burp thing where I forget what he was saying, but he had to reiterate it again. But the idea that, okay, maybe he's having a bad day, maybe he's hammered. Well, this morning, Jim Cramer took to his Twitter account to reiterate his stupidity from yesterday. He says, quote, "There is nothing in the Constitution about personal freedom against the commonwealth. I assume common health or common whatever. He's misspelling words, so maybe he is still drunk. How can people just make things up? And we wonder how come we can't crush COVID. Why don't we just give up? Do what he says. Do what he wants. Do what, I don't know. Maybe the fear has been good for his ratings, or maybe he's bought into the fear. Whatever the case is, he is full-blown team fear. And he is full-blown sitting there and telling everybody else what to do. It is nuts. It is insane. It is anti-American. Where does the Constitution... personal freedom is pretty big in the Constitution. If you actually read the Constitution, Jim, the Constitution is nothing more than a series of things that the federal government cannot do. Just look at it. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. You can't, the Bill of Rights, you can't mess with any of these things. It's not the government granting people their rights. It is the Constitution of the United States guaranteeing the Americans the rights with which they were born against infringement by government. That's why it says things like Congress shall make no law, and not you are hereby granted these following rights. Now you have this situation, if you think, well, these people are insane. You're right. But where does this lead and where would they like it to lead? I keep telling you about Australia. Australia, Australia, Australia. An Australian newscaster down there. There's all this footage. It doesn't really lend itself to radio because it's just cars being searched at a checkpoint. But they have these camps. Let's just call them nice little camps. And it's weird how some people, supposedly on the right, are calling these places no big deal. Down in Australia, the Australian right is not the same as it is here. But they're trying to downplay the fact that if you travel into the country, you're put into one of these COVID camps. If you travel, if you violate, if you test positive, if you do anything, you're put in these COVID camps if you're not going to stay home. If you're new, if you move from one province to another, or state or whatever they call them, they have these COVID camps. Well, some people left these COVID camps. Some free Australians, well, presumably free. And this is, again, what I mean when you say that just because they use our common language and you think, oh, well, they like our movies, we like their movies. And hey, Hugh Jackman, there's a huge difference between the United States and the rest of the world. And it lies largely in that thing that Jim Cramer doesn't understand. It's the Constitution of the United States. And how we are guaranteed certain rights by our creator, not by our government. Unlike the rest of the world, where, 10 years ago, Australians gave up their guns. The Australians gave up their guns willingly. Oh, yeah, no, we'll stop all the shooting. They didn't stop the shootings. The criminals have the guns. The normal people don't, the law-abiding, the suckers. They don't have guns. They can't defend themselves. They can't defend themselves from criminals. They can't defend themselves from their government. And these camps, these quarantine facilities, as they're called, when you leave them, there's an all-out nationwide manhunt for you. This Australian news reporter, Talia Sarve, tweeted yesterday, breaking, Nine News has been told several people have absconded from Howard Springs quarantine facility early this morning. A police investigation is underway right now. Now, they had to break out the thesaurus because they don't want to say escaped. They can't bring escaped. But that's what happened. People, if you leave a place you're not allowed to leave, you have escaped from it, but absconded. Now, you abscond with things, as far as I know. If I were to, you know, if somebody were to abscond with my phone, they would have absconded with my phone. I don't know that you could abscond from the studio. You could abscond my phone from the studio, I suppose, but that it seems like a weird choice, because it is a weird choice. Anyway, there was an update. Talia Sarve updated, quote, update. Northern Territory police have located and taken into custody three people who absconded from the Center for National Resilience. Earlier this morning, all three tested negative for COVID-19 yesterday. Inquiries are continuing. Yes, don't worry, Australia, you gigantic continent of your own. Three people who test negative for COVID have been taken into custody, will be thrown back into the quarantine facility. Yeah, the prison there. And should they complete their time there, they will then be released and be free to be charged with absconding from a place their government has sentenced them without any conviction. They just exist wrong. You look at around the world and you think, how did this happen? How did this happen in the first world? How did this happen in any world? The answer is, we let it happen. It happens in dribs and drabs, and it happens in large chunks. Little bits, big bits, doesn't matter. It happens because of fear. It happens because people are terrified. Australia, three cases. They shut down the whole country. Three cases. What? How, why? Nobody's dying, but well, we got to shut down the entire country. New York, and you think, well, they're just crazy. Yes, they are just crazy. But they're crazy here, too. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, she has put a halt on all elective surgery. All elective surgery. In anticipation for the possibility that Omicron is a bad thing. If Omicron is a bad doomsday wave, we're, you know, weeks, months away from it, really. It's going to take a while. It's not like it's just in the pool and then everybody gets it. It's going to take a while for it to spread around. If you are having bypass surgery, that's elective surgery. That's elective surgery. Unless you're in the midst of having a heart attack, that's an elective surgery. If you're having hip replacement, you're not having a hip replacement because you've got nothing better to do on a Thursday afternoon. You're having hip replacement because your hip needs replacing and you are in pain because of it. Your quality of life is severely diminished. You don't go, oh, your hip's starting to deteriorate, so let's get out in front of that and replace the hip. No, your doctors will tell you, ride that hip as long as humanly possible. Once it deteriorates to the point that you can't stand it anymore, then we'll get rid of it. Because even a 50% real hip is more advantageous to the human body than a brand new artificial hip. Pretty simple. Pretty basic. So when you need that hip replaced, it's not because you got nothing better to do. It's because your body is falling apart. That's what happens. It's all been wiped out. New York Post. Here we go again. Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order. Now, she's unelected. She was elected lieutenant governor with Andrew Cuomo. Nobody could give a damn who the lieutenant governor was. Signed an executive order Friday to postpone elective hospital surgeries, something that hasn't been done since the worst of the initial coronavirus outbreak last year. Hochul said she made the move to deal with staffing shortages, which are a result of her executive order demanding that people be vaccinated or fired, and boost bed capacity among an anticipated spike. An anticipated spike in new cases, and the emergence of the new Omicron variant in South Africa. So if you were ready to have elective surgery like bypass surgery or artificial artery replacement, anything, if you're not in the throes of dying at the moment, it is an elective surgery. If you plan it, if you have a hernia and you're in a lot of pain, and you say, well, this is terrible. This hurts. I can't wait for this hernia surgery. Well, good luck. You're on your own. You're just going to have to wait. It's only going to be a couple of months. What's the problem? What's the problem? You're the problem. You're the problem. And fear enables all of this. Be smart. Don't be afraid. There's a huge, huge difference. And the two of them never go together, ever. By the way, on the coronavirus, you always hear, because they're saying, well, they're trying, the left tries to blame the United States and capitalism for everything. Doesn't matter. If they try to blame the United States for not giving enough vaccines to African countries, and that led to the development of the Omicron variant. You just have to remember this. This is from the New York Times, their daily newsletter. These countries that are subjected to Joe Biden's travel restrictions, they write, last week, just days before scientists discovered the Omicron variant, South Africa's government asked Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer not to make some planned deliveries of their COVID-19 vaccines. The country already had more doses in storage than it could use, about 16 million, in a country of about 60 million people, and officials were worried that further supplies would spoil before they could be used. How could that be? The main answer should be familiar to Americans, vaccine skepticism. Quote, there's a fair amount of apathy and hesitancy, said Dr. Sabir Madi, a vaccination expert in South Africa, told Reuters. For similar reasons, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Malawi have asked donors to pause vaccine deliveries. There is vaccine hesitancy, even in Africa. It's weird, because I did not know that there were so many Trump voters in Southern Africa, but you learn something new every day. You learn something new every day. You also learn something new about the American media every day. Bloomberg Politics has a story today, and it's one of a string of stories that Bloomberg Politics has written, really sucking up to China. Michael Bloomberg is a giant China apologist. Thank God. I mean, you think Joe Biden is bad. Thank God Michael Bloomberg didn't get elected president of the United States. He has billions of dollars of personal, whereas, you know, the Biden family has millions of dollars of, you know, personal wealth invested in China. They've diversified. They've got corruption all over the world. Michael Bloomberg has billions of dollars tied up in China. Billions of dollars tied up in China. If China bans Bloomberg News, Michael Bloomberg is going to take a bath on that. So you get pieces like this. The emergence of a new coronavirus variant has provided some vindication for China's COVID zero approach, which has kept strict border controls in place since the start of the pandemic. Don't you love this? They're praising China's doing a wonderful job. Yeah, China had a jump start on everybody else because they not only knew about the pandemic right from the get-go, they caused the pandemic right from the get-go. But to praise them, oh, they're wonderful. They oppress their people. Yeah, tight border controls, strict border. They are a communist totalitarian dictatorship. If they tell you you don't get to leave your house, you don't get to leave your house. When this thing started over there, they were welding doors shut to apartment buildings. To apartment buildings, meaning not apartments, apartment buildings. Everybody in them was basically locked in there. You stay in there, you quarantine, good luck, welcome to Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves. To praise China, well, you know, China really has a booming economy. You can have a booming economy, too, if you don't have to pay your workers or you don't have to pay them very much or you have at least a pool of people that you don't have to pay. Slave labor does wonders for the cost of production. Not so good for morale, not so good for morality. But if you're just interested in pumping up your GDP, look at China. Look at that model. You'd think the left, who is hypersensitive to this stuff, and looks at the South and the Southern agrarian economy pre-Civil War as, you know, it was built on the backs of slaves. The whole country was built on the backs of slaves. Would stop and look at China and go, their economy is built on the backs of slavery. Yes, people have jobs, but they are slaves. Regardless, it doesn't matter. If you don't get the right social score, you're not leaving China. If you don't get the right social score, you're not going to keep your job in China. You can't really leave your house in China. And if you are of the wrong ethnic minority or wrong skin color or whatever that's out of favor in China at any given moment, you don't even get the meager pay that you get. You'll be thrown in a camp where you will still work. That work provided to major corporations around the world and suppliers of those major corporations don't believe them. They know what they're doing. It isn't the major U.S. corporations who directly contract with China for the slave labor of the Uyghur population, for example, or prison labor anywhere in the country. It is the suppliers and subsidiaries of the suppliers of those companies. Those large companies that make electronics or make footwear don't look down, well, they know what's down the food chain for their supplies over there. They don't want you to look down it. So they could say, we don't have anything. We pay the little old ladies and the 12-year-old boys and girls to sew our product or seal our product. Okay, well, what about the leather pieces that come together, the canvas pieces, whatever it is? All the, where are those coming from? Well, we buy them from our suppliers. We cannot be held responsible to that. It's amazing how much willful blindness there is towards China from people who know better. Michael Bloomberg, you think, he's a multi-billionaire. He's set $1 billion on fire, $100 million or whatever it was, running for president. Didn't get anywhere. He just did it more as a vanity project than anything else. He did it. And it didn't matter to him. But if Xi Jinping belches, he gets nervous. You think, well, being a billionaire media mogul, that has to be very liberating. No, you end up still bowing toward Beijing, no matter what. No matter what. Because if you get in bed with the Chinese government, they don't let you out of bed. They don't let you out of anything. You're in for life. I want to shift the attention to the Northeast. Just in case you were ever considering moving to Portland or vacationing in Portland, I want to dissuade you from that thought. I want to save you. I want to save your life. Preemptively save your life. The city of Portland is experiencing a bit of a renaissance. Unfortunately, it's a renaissance for crime, for violent crime, for shootings in particular, murders. They have, presumably pretty good aim up there. This is, listen to this report. I have a couple of clips here from this report from KOIN-TV up there in Portland.
Mark Friedman supervises detectives for the Enhanced Community Safety Team, a team he admits can no longer keep the community safe.
No, I've been a police officer for the last 23 years in Portland, and what we're seeing right now is unprecedented.
The facts are stunning and frightening. In Portland, we are outpacing other larger West Coast cities in deadly violence. This year, Portland has had more homicides than San Diego, San Francisco, and we have nearly twice as many homicide victims as Seattle.
We're not the only city to deal with a rise in the murder rate, but our murder rate has gone through the roof as we've done almost nothing but retreat from public safety.
Yeah, doesn't sound lovely? Now, all of those other cities, San Diego, San Francisco, and Seattle, as you might imagine, are significantly larger than the city of Portland. But it's not percentage, it's not murder rate, it's raw numbers that Portland is leading in. That's unprecedented, dangerous. Portland, of course, Ted Wheeler, the loser mayor up there, the insane people that they elect on the city council. And you say, well, this is what they voted for, and you're right. It's hard to have sympathy when this is what people voted for, but the story is insane. And I show it to you, I share it with you, because if you think it's going to be contained or progressives are going to look at this and go, well, we won't do what Portland did, you'd be wrong. So you need to know what you're going to have to fight against should the lunatic left in your city try to do this.
Dan Levy and Kevin Looper head up People for Portland. The nonprofit has launched a campaign to put pressure on Portland leaders to take action.
Anybody tells you there's a plan right now at City Hall or at the county is lying to you. There's no plan.
There is this plan. In early October, the city installed traffic barrels in neighborhoods hit hard by gun violence, calling it an innovative solution. The neighbors?
Like, there's violence and shooting all over the place, and then we've been trying to make our voices heard. And once we finally get a reaction, it's traffic barrels. It makes you feel like you're not heard at all.
It seems like it's something that's more of an idea that's born out of desperation than something that's going to have an effective impact on the people that live in these neighborhoods. It doesn't seem to do a whole lot.
Yeah, I think it's a really apt metaphor for the disconnect kind of between the city and what they think they should be doing and what people living in the neighborhood want them to do. It's almost like kind of pouring salt in a wound a little bit.
Pouring salt in a wound a little bit. Now, each one of these people in the video, if you see the video, I think I retweeted it. they're all standing in front of various areas where there are these traffic cones. They're not really the traffic pylon things. They're the barrel ones. And it says local access only. They put a sign and it says local access only. A shooting happened. All right, put the barrels up, block traffic for local access only. Only people who live on that block can drive down that. How the hell is that supposed to deal with? How is that a response to anything related to a shooting? It's not. It's a mockery. It is insane. I don't even know if a good fiction writer could have come up with something. All right, well, it's in response to shootings. Let's put up some traffic barrels. Yet that's what they've done. And of course, the source of this, if you've at all followed the trials and tribulations of Portland, won't come as a surprise to you. Now, in Portland, this story related to the cone, the traffic barrel thing. UK Daily Mail. Now you ask yourself, why wasn't this noted in the US press? Why do you have to go to the UK Daily Mail to a story from October about this? The headline, Defund the Police, Councilwoman orders crime-ridden city of Portland to use more traffic cones to tackle surge in drive-by shootings. Yeah, not kidding. A Portland city commissioner who has called for defunding the police has ordered the city's Bureau of Transportation to use traffic barrels in an effort to curb gun violence. Transportation Commissioner Joanne Hardesty ordered the Bureau of Transportation to install the orange traffic barrels across a six-block area in the Mount Scott Areola neighborhood, which has had a string of shootings in recent weeks. Because, you know, if you're willing to go out and shoot somebody randomly or whatever as you drive past them, you're not willing to hit a $5 piece of plastic as you flee the scene. Hardesty noted that there are, quote, no simple solutions to solve the shooting epidemic and says officials must bring an all hands on deck creative mindset to combat the problem. Just not the police. She has been a huge advocate of defunding the police. She, if you don't know who she is, you can look her up. Her name is Joanne, J-O, and then A-N-N, two separate words. Hardesty. She was the one who got into an argument with an Uber driver about whatever, I forget what it was, where she was abusive and he wanted to get her out of the car and was telling her to get the hell out of his car. And she refused to get out of his car. And this proud defunder of police called the police. They had the 911 call. And then she was mad. She was drunk. She was mad that the 911 call was released because it exposed her as a fraud running to the police when she had a problem whilst doing everything she could to defend or to deny her fellow Portlanders the ability to call the police should they need them. It's funny because it's true. And it's sad for the same reason. Sad now that we are out of time, ladies and gentlemen, but fear not. There's always tomorrow, and Lord knows in the ensuing hours there will be all sorts of insanity for us to discuss tomorrow. I appreciate the use of your ears. Tell a friend. Be back here tomorrow.